Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for March 17, 2020. It is 10:36 a.m. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Arnold, followed by the pledge led by Commissioner Weaver.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to live in this great nation where our freedoms are numerous and sometimes taken for granted. Lord, I ask you to give us, this collective body, the guidance and wisdom to make the right decisions that are legal, ethical, and representative of the residents of Jefferson County. As we go through these trying times with this virus that seems to be spreading worldwide, please be with those who are already infected and be with those who potentially could get infected to help them stay healthy and to help stop the spread of this virus that's disrupting the entire world, the planet. All these things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We previously called this meeting to order and had our invocation and pledge of allegiance. We'll begin our agenda today a little bit out of order with item G under County Commissioners. To consider and possibly approve a resolution for Ms. Dorothy Mae Graveway on her 172nd birthday in Jefferson County, Texas. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. So I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Holdren.
It is an honor to read this resolution. Be it remembered at a meeting of the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County, Texas, held on the 17th day of March 2020. Motion by Commissioner Alfred, precinct number 4, second by Commissioner Weaver, precinct number 2. The following resolution was adopted. Whereas Ms. Dr. May Graves Williams was born on March 15, 1918. We celebrate and congratulate her on her 102nd birthday. Whereas Ms. Dr. May Graves Williams has remained a citizen in Jefferson County throughout her life and has resided for over 50 years in Precinct 4 area. Whereas Ms. Dr. May Graves Williams has a strong passion and love for Jesus. She is a devoted member of St. John's Missionary Baptist Church, where the Reverend O.J. Beasley Jr. is the pastor. Whereas Ms. Dr. May Graves Williams is the mother by biological rights for 5 children and has nurtured and fostered many others. Whereas Ms. Dr. May Graves Williams was a 1934 graduate of Hebert High School and continued to exemplify the path of pride throughout her 102 years of life. Whereas Ms. Dr. May Graves Williams continued to crochet, sew, collect dolls, and add addition to reading daily scriptures, devotionals, and the Holy Bible. Whereas Ms. Dr. May Graves is not only an avid CNN buff, but she makes news by feeding and caring for those less fortunate in the community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County, Texas, do hereby acknowledge Ms. Dr. May Graves Williams on this day in honor of her 102nd birthday. Signed by the Honorable Jeff Brandon, County Judge, the Honorable Ed Owen, Precinct 1 Commissioner, the Honorable Brett Weaver, Precinct 2 Commissioner, the Honorable Mike Shane, Senegal, Precinct 3, and yours truly, Commissioner Bo Alford, Jefferson County. Ms. Graves, if you don't mind, come up to the mic because we want to hear something. If you don't mind, give her a second because you will be blessed. We're blessed to see you. You give us a poem, whatever you want to say.
Lord, be praised, Williams. And I thank the Lord that he has allowed me these many years. And I want to say a little poem for y'all. This poem was written by Lawrence Edith Bradman. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, would you? If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, would you give him expectantly? I wonder what you'd do. Would you give him the nicest room of such an honored guest? And would you serve to him the food your very best? I can't get together.
That's all right. That's all right.
And if you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched and welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in and move some magazines and put the Bible where they would you hide your mirth? Would you turn off your radio and hope he hadn't heard that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your world of music? Would you hide your world of music and put some hymn books out? Or could you let Jesus walk right in and would you rush about? And if the Savior came to spend some time with you, would you keep right on doing the things you always do? Would you keep right on saying the things you always say as life continued for you as it does from day to day? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know from which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you maybe change your mind for just a day or so? Would you like for him to meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they stay away until it's busy? Would you like for him to stay with you forever, on and on? Or would you hope they stay away until his visit ends? It would be interesting to know the things that we would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you.
Thank you. Phase 6, contract number 7218240 is shown on attachment A.
Motion on both items under first.
Move.
Second, moved by Commissioner Weaver, seconded by Commissioner Sanders.
Judge, I would like to add on to that L, the additional, I think it's, we had enough funding to provide service 26. I think it's 17 came in, 11 was approvable, and I want to know if we can go out for a second round of accident individuals.
If it's the Texas Department of Agriculture will approve it, I'm happy to.
Okay, then.
Judge, also.
So, you're going to talk to Vivian about that?
It's actually Sue.
And she could not be here today due to the fact that their work was quarantined. She did say that they did three intake sections and advertised extensively that they did not just have the participation. There were two big reasons. One is that people just didn't want to pay the monthly sewer cost after the installation. And the third was there are a lot of people still not back in their homes. And you have to be back in your home in order to qualify.
And that's the reason why I asked, because there were three that's not on this group came in after this point that are eligible. And that's why I want to bring it to the court's attention.
Judge, Commissioners, I'd like to ask like Dan and Terry addressing of item J. Just briefly, when you talk about, these RFPs.
We did go out for an RFP. It was submitted to the people to evaluate, the evaluation committee. They have rated up. We are going into negotiations with the highest rated one. So I cannot disclose that name because if it does not work out, we move to the next one and so on.
Very good.
Local comments? Okay.
Any other discussion on items under purchasing? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Moving on to county auditor, item A, consider approval of budget transfer for Road Bridge Precinct 4 for additional cost for extra health and road machinery. Item B is consider approved budget transfer for Thompsonville Precinct 1 for additional cost for uniforms in the amount of $2,700. Item C is consider approved electronic disbursement for $624.82 to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for March insurance reimbursement. Item D is consider publicly approved suspending the current Commissioner's Court order pursuant to Section 130.908 of the Texas Local Government Code for Road Bridge Precinct 1, Justice of the Peace Precinct 1, Place 1, Constable Precinct 6 through September 30th, 2020. This will allow the three options to continue normal operations for the remainder of the current budget year. All requests of budget transfers, including inter-city transfers, will come to the Commissioner's Court for approval. The original orders go back to the first into effect beginning October 1st, 2020. Item E is consider approved amendments to the North American Wetlands Conservation Act grant partner agreements for additional funding of $65,000 for each of the siphon locations. Item F is regular county bills, check numbers 469197 through 469482 for the period ending 3/10/20. Item G is regular county bills, check numbers 469483 through 469729 for the period ending today.
So move. Let me make sure I don't have an addendum.
You do not.
All right.
I'll
second.
Have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Commissioners, item A is received and filed a certificate of completion. Commissioner Eddie Arnold has successfully completed the continuing education provisions of Article 81.0025 of the Texas Local Government Code for 2019-20. Item B is to consider and approve an amended ordinance prohibiting municipal or industrial waste in certain areas of Jefferson County to correct the typographical error in Section 6.1. Item C is to receive and file a certificate of public hearing regarding approval of the plan of finance by Republic Services, Inc. and issuance of solid waste disposal revenue bonds by Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Item D is to receive and file executed special warranty deed for Mark Lee and James Garlborough executed pursuant to section 272.001 Texas Local Government Code, Jefferson County, for a drainage easement. Item E is considering possibly approval of resolution regarding Senate Bill 2418, establishing enhanced co-major revenue sharing on par with onshore federal land sharing and revenue sharing. Item F is considering possibly approving authorized county judge to execute receipt file deed from Jefferson County to Lamar State College Board Author for 0.423 acres of land at the old Armory site pursuant to section 272.001J of Texas Local Government Code for an industrial training facility. Addendum A is consider possibly approving authorized county judge to extend the declaration for local disaster dated 3/13.
That's at 245. We have H on the yellow one.
On the yellow one?
Yeah.
Okay. Item H is considering possibly approving declaration for local disaster public health emergency pursuant to section 418.108 of the Texas Government Code. And do I have a motion on that from the county commissioner?
Moved
by Commissioner Arnold, second by Commissioner Senegal. I did want to mention that the amended declaration and emergency that was sent out yesterday evening, the commissioners may get some flack over this, and so I want you to know what you're voting on. It had some provisions, some additional provisions preventing price gouging and preventing people from charging anything more than what they charged on March 12th. That came about as a result of a convenience store in Orange County that tried to charge somebody $28 for a gallon of water. There are additional provisions that were requested by the superintendents and Mayor Barty and the board officers, since they were going to be having some school closures, and the concern amongst both the superintendents and the mayors was that these kids are going to be out of school. We're doing this as a prophylactic measure to attempt to limit the spread of the coronavirus. The last thing that we need for them to be doing is to be gathering in great numbers at parks and other areas. And so there are provisions in there that create a curfew for anyone under 18 unless they're going to work or they're with a parent or guardian or school district personnel. Yesterday, the UIL canceled all practices, all games as we move forward. The last night on Facebook, there were several people who thought that the curfew for under age 18 was too stringent. So I just want y'all to be aware of that as you vote upon it, because there's a lot of people in favor of it too. So.
Judge, I want to mention this one here. I want to make sure that we put this on the websites where people can see it and know what exactly it is, any things that we have from now on. I think we have to move in the direction that the country is moving in. We're not excluded from anything. Like I said, when Commissioner Senegal asked me about when we talked to the CDC, we are a port city. We are Port County. So we can get everything everybody else getting twofold. So we got to be cautious.
And several members in the medical community, we do not have a confirmed case, but a lot of doctors have told me we've got a case. It just hasn't been confirmed and tested yet. And we'll have Dr. Ray Callis, who's on the coronavirus task force, at our 1:30 workshop to answer any questions any commission might have and just generally educate us. He appeared at a meeting of 8 county judges in the Southeast Texas region and 37 school districts yesterday in Region 5. And very illuminating talk. And so I'm looking forward to having him here in Commissioner's Court to visit with us.
Judge, if I may, you know, obviously you probably have received information that warrants such an amendment. And so if you would, just for background, what are some of the things that led you to this decision about the curfew and the amendment?
I think, obviously, I've had numerous conversations and conference calls with the Department of State Health Services, Governor, and
not just like flu. The normal mortality rate for the flu is 0.1%. Although it's still too early to tell, the mortality rate for the coronavirus is 10 times that level at 1%. For individuals with compromised immune system, it's 3.5 to 5%, and we'll have more studies after we get warmer weather and get to the end of this virus ordeal. The other thing is that what physicians call a RO, or a reproductive order. A normal person that has the flu will spread that to 1.3 persons. Coronavirus has a RO of around 2.5 to 3, so they'll spread it to 2.5 to 3 people. So it is more, it is easier to get. It survives for approximately 3 hours on hard surfaces. There are some reports that say as long as 36 hours, but Dr. Callis says the best reports are around 3 hours. Of course, the elderly and those with compromised immune systems are more at risk. Thankfully, younger people may not even know they have it. Their symptoms may be so mild. However, they are carriers of the virus. And I told the superintendents at school district, not that worried about your kids. I'm really worried about them going home and kissing their grandma. And, you know, this is something we need to get through as quickly as we can. We've got, you know, even healthy people. There's a SWAT officer in Conroe, 47 years old, very healthy, who's on life support right now because of the coronavirus. He had not been out of the country, didn't know anybody. He had any contact with anybody who's been out of the country, so he contracted it somewhere off a surface or through somebody's sneeze. And so it can even affect the healthy in a very significant way.
So the amendment is basically to limit that kind of, for the younger, 18 and younger, the curfew.
Trying to mitigate the impacts, this is what we're trying to accomplish right now. You can only do that through limited human interactions, allowing those who have it, and told that the incubation period within humans is anywhere from 2 to 3 to 5 days, and that the period between the time they are exposed to the virus and they're no longer a threat to transferring it, it can be anywhere from 11 to 14 days. So we're just trying to limit human interactions, trying to limit people going forward. You'll notice that in Harris County, they have closed all bars, they've closed restaurants to people going in the restaurants, only allowing them to have delivery and pick up. Could potentially get to the point where we need to consider that. And we may need to have some special meetings over the next couple of weeks. Dr. Walks told me yesterday, and I'm sure Commissioner Alford knows that we were supposed to be delivered test kits yesterday. I know some of the lab core requests, some of the labs here already have the test kits. Some of the hospitals, some of the physicians have them. I don't know whether Dr. Walker has got them yet.
He didn't have them, and it's just been a trying time. I understand that some of the hospitals are doing some things, and I got that from a friend out of another location, another city, to tell me that we might need to get in touch with some of our hospital professionals.
And
take care.
Dr. Walks has talked to 5 South, which is the arm of Department of State Health Services for our region in Houston yesterday morning, said that they would be preparing to do a drive-through testing facility in Jefferson County, hopefully by the middle of next week. However,
TDEM says that they do not have the state resources to man those facilities, and they'd be dependent on the local jurisdictions to do that. We had a meeting that we had yesterday with the 8 Southeast Texas County judges and FEDRAC, the Southeast Texas Regional Advisory Council. They're going to coordinate a meeting between the public health authorities for the city, the county, the hospital, and the county judges to see what we need to do to be able to man those drive-throughs. It's my understanding that yesterday the state put out an announcement that they're able at this point in time to test 273 cases per day at their lab. They're supposed to be getting lab core requests in the private facilities and the private-public partnership where they're able within the next week to test 20,000 cases per day. But, you know, if we get in the normal wait time is about 36 hours for results, but if we get a lot of cases, you know, that obviously, that time is going to be expanded. So we're just going to hope and pray that not as significant in Jefferson County as what in the state of Texas would have been in other areas. We're going to hope that people will frequently wash their hands, maintain spacing requirements, that they're not impacted by their sneezes. And we're not going to panic. We're going to remember who's in control of things. It's not us.
Jim, I need to ask the court's indulgence to go back to auditing under D, and I need to change my vote to refute myself and set the effect of my precinct budget. I should not be voting in that regard, in my opinion, so for transparency purposes.
Item G?
D and David. Talking about suspending the current commissioner's court order.
We'll show on item D under county auditor that Commissioner Arnold has recused himself from voting.
But Judge, we might need to check something farther back. It's passing all the tests that he needs to pass. In his certification.
Real quick, Judge. Also, I
think it's good play.
I heard the explanation, but I just think I need you or someone needs to just say, okay, if a person call I got yesterday where a person thought they had, I just heard 100 things what they should do. Ask Jefferson County if a citizen called one of us today and say, I may have, what should we do?
Oh, if they're in Port Arthur, call Port Arthur Health Department. If they're in Beaumont, call Beaumont Health Department. If they're in the mid-county cities, call Beaumont Health Department. Or call Dr. Walsh, and they can arrange and direct them to testing. They'll only test people who have the symptoms, which are a dry cough, a fever, but most importantly, shortness of breath. Apparently this virus caused some kind of fibrotic changes in the lung that make it difficult to breathe. They don't want to test people because there are people that are testing positive for the flu. On Friday we were concerned that we had a situation with a couple who had been on a cruise, come through the port of Miami. I was driving back here from Alabama and called Judge Walston to determine whether or not a quarantine order was necessary. He spoke to the individuals. They were very nice, very cooperative, agreed not to go anywhere. Dr. Walks sent the mobile medical bus out there. They tested them and it was flu A, thankfully. And under the CDC guidelines, if they have another strain of flu that's detected, they will not test them for coronavirus. But we don't want people who don't have one or more of those three symptoms, because normally the regular flu is not a dry cough, it's a wet cough, sinus issue, body aches. So the shortness of breath is the most important thing to remember. We don't want to test people who are
think we need to incorporate the mobile unit in there. We call it the third axis on our public health one, public health two, which is Beaumont, Port Arthur. And the mobile unit move is already scheduled, it's moving into rural areas. So I have talked to Dr. Walks, asked him to get all the appropriate gear that they would need to for them to be able to swab, because if it's in the rural area, we need to provide it there if we can. That matter of fact, that was a rural area incident that happened Friday.
Right. Mr. White, the star request for the personal protective equipment.
It's going to be denied. They already told me they're going to deny it.
Okay. Well, so we're going to have to have certain
not available.
The mask, and in order for us to get the appropriate mask that will protect you, they have gone up dramatically in price, $6 or $7 piece, so it's around $12,000 or $14,000 for two cases.
They're not even going to fill. We're not going to be able to purchase those. They're only going to do large orders, like a state size order. They're not going to sell us three cases.
Okay. What do we know so, for PPE for law enforcement, correction
officers? I was able to get some for the sheriff's department yesterday. They've already been given to them. We got them through alternate means.
Okay, let's continue to keep our eye out for that.
And just for the public who may be watching this on the our video broadcast, I encourage people, especially gentlemen who like to shake hands, to avoid that and use your elbows, because that's one of the ways that this can be transmitted from person to person. And also, if you sneeze or cough, you know, use this in your elbow to prevent that. Those water droplets that are attached to that sneeze is what actually lands on the surface, and you can actually contact the virus from that being in your breathing sphere. So those are two issues, and sanitizer. You know, I know it's going, it's very expensive. I think there's been people out there trying to buy it on Amazon and resell it for 10 times the price, and I hope that doesn't continue. That's sad. But it is going up if you can find it. But try to remember, and we've implemented that for the courthouse operation. You'll find that there are bottles of sanitizer all around at most of the entrances and exits. Be sure as you as an employee or guest coming into the courthouse, use it, you know, as frequently. So just encourage the general public to be aware of those safety items to help contain this virus. And it's being broadcast all over the place, but in case there's somebody that hasn't been following the news, you know, maybe they'll pick it up by word of mouth. But let's be the people who actually demonstrate and use the elbow and shake the hand. Thank you.
You bring a good point to the table, and we do need to make sure one other thing about our employees. If an employee has a fever, sickness, what should they do, Jim?
Well, I think I would see Dr. Walsh or Leslie, but I think at our 1:30 meeting, we're going to have a discussion. I'm going to ask for the input of the tax assessor, the county clerk, and the district clerk about whether or not feasible and potential for us to maybe stagger employees from day to day, reduce the number of people in the courthouse, require maybe that things like things that can be done online be done online, stop paper filings and only do e-filing or things of that nature. We're going to need their input on that. I know that Mr. Smith is talking about suspending the passport services. Of course, nobody ought to be traveling out of the country now anyway. So we'll discuss all that at 1:30.
Can I mention something?
Yes, ma'am.
About
please.
My office real quick? Just for the general public to make sure that they know, the governor has issued an extension for the issuance of registration, renewal of registration, renewal of a permanent disabled parking placard, or issuance of a 30-day temporary permit that needs to be done. And the purpose of that is to try to discourage people from coming into the tax office. So I want to reiterate that there's a 60-day extension, and so for people who are trying to register their tags or get a placard or anything like that, you can do it online, you can do it by mail, but you don't have to do it for the next 60 days. So I would discourage people from coming into the tax offices.
What about getting your taxes?
Paying your taxes?
I
would also say, we've collected and dispersed 95% so far. So the vast majority of property tax collection has already been done and dispersed.
Thank you.
I think the only one you haven't gotten paid is that Senegal guy.
Yeah. I'm trying to borrow some money from my classmate.
Carolyn, did we vote on that already?
On Commissioner's Court item?
No. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Move on. Well, you'll also notice that the district judges have made the decision to suspend juries, and I know that this could create a hardship with the correctional facility for the sheriff. Sheriff, would you like to discuss that?
Yes, I've been in conversation with them since probably last Thursday. We're not going to have any juries. This morning we talked to the judges again, and so we're trying to cancel any jail runs so we don't have to bring inmates. We're trying to, and it's a dual purpose. It's also trying to keep this building sterile, but also the jail. We've canceled visitation at the correctional facility. That's something that's going to be a big thing. I've already gotten complaints from family members who don't understand that. Again, it's you know, trying to make sure that those inmates are kept as sterile as possible in that correctional facility. The other thing that people forget, it's not just a hurricane that we are first responders. So now, I have over almost 500 employees who I expect to be at work, and so some of them, we all know are probably gonna be exposed to this virus, but somebody's gotta stay there and take care of the inmates and the community. And so keep that in mind. We're requiring and requesting everybody to keep up their work hours, but at the same time, it's kind of why we're requesting gloves. We're running out of gloves, we're running out of sanitizer, soap, bleach. We got ahead of it and we ordered a truckload, a couple weeks ago, and we accepted delivery of that. But you're talking about 24-hour staffing at that correctional facility. That's a lot of gloves and a lot of sanitizer. And so, we're gonna be working with emergency management to try to get some more. I've already talked to people in Austin, I've talked to you county judge, to try to get some stuff that way. But we're gonna limit the movement of the inmates, bringing them here. The judges have been gracious. We're trying to make bond amounts affordable for people to get out of jail who don't need to be in jail. MTRPs, motion revokes, non-violent offenders. We're trying to get them out if we can get them out.
I'm saying this half jokingly and half seriously. One of the Broward County judges has under 418 is the cease thing. So if you find a offender who has something that our correctional officers need, that would be a justification for seizure. Hopefully we won't have to do that.
Also, Sheriff LaSalle, are they on the same page as you?
Yes.
They're bringing prisoners from outside, right?
We're trying to keep everybody stationary right now. And so in terms of hearings and docket runs, we're talking to MIS right now to try to get some of those hearings done via tele stuff so we don't have to bring them down here. And so they're working on that this morning. So we've all been meeting and we're going to have some other information. Judge, I will need you this afternoon to see if we can sign some kind of order, because under our contract, we don't have to accept an emergency situation. I'd like for the local municipal police departments not to bring their Class C's. And we got hammered by the city of Beaumont this weekend, John.
Well, we need to be PR in all of those.
We are, with our judges here, but a lot of the municipal police departments don't understand that. And so I'm going to need you guys, this is a great, venue, I guess, for us to talk about that. We don't need to be accepting people's Class C's. Our numbers, we were right at 800. We'd like to be somewhere around 600, And so we're PRing folks out if we can, and just to keep it, the numbers down.
Hey, let me ask a question. Emergency management. They will not provide us anything for our essential of our sheriff department, the situation we're dealing with that?
I can answer some of that because I've been on the phone with Joe Nezatel's office and a lot of people. And so what the problem is, there are no resources. You have to understand, it's not like a hurricane where it's regional. It's nationwide.
There's none out there.
And so what I was told by the kid, they're actually looking at having inmates in some of the prisons, trying to find resources for them to start making some of this stuff. It's, and so it is a, you know, while food is not an issue, the stuff to keep first responders sanitized and correctional facilities sanitized is the issue right now.
And then I had a conversation with Vice President for HEB, which is another thing. People need to quit panicking about food supplies. This is an artificially created, man-made shortage that we're going through. And it's because of panic that we're going through this. And Vice President said the same thing. We have a natural disaster like a hurricane. Resources are pushed from all over the nation into our area. This is a nationwide event. There are people all across the country that are panicking, and that's our worst enemy. I went in HEB last night after doing a television show at Channel 12, about 7:45. There was absolutely no meat in the meat section except for pig feet.
Good evening.
Obviously, no toilet paper, and a lot of other things that are normally readily available were not because of panic buying, people overbuying. Supply chains will only be compromised. Now, we have the best farmers in the world here, we have the best food producers in the world. So, supply chains will only be compromised as a result of human overreaction. We don't need to do that. Just buy what you need to get your family through.
Just let me make sure, I want to make sure the media understands that I don't want the community to be fearful that we're emptying our jail, because we are not talking about putting violent offenders out there. The judges aren't talking about that. We're talking about folks that may be in jail on contempt of, you know, court stuff like child support. Right. We're talking about misdemeanor traffic charges. And so I don't want there, you know, in light of what you just said about everybody rushing to the grocery store, I also don't want people to think that we're just opening the jail and letting all the bad guys out, because we're absolutely not doing that. What we're trying to do is make sure that we can watch those guys and keep those guys sanitary, and the folks that don't really need to be there right now, or that we can reissue warrants on. You understand that, but I want to make sure that the public understands that.
Well, you know what my opinion is about
the same as mine.
I don't think they ought to be in jail, but...
We agree on that, Judge.
I want to clarify the record, too. He grew up privileged. I ain't picked it.
Judge, I echo some of your comments and the sheriff, too. You know, we need to be prepared. But there are some underlying consequences. People are going to go bankrupt. There's going to be some people go bankrupt over all this. Their credit's they're gonna go into credit because they can't go to work, and they can't, you know, people are gonna have to watch their kids because there's no school. I mean, there's a trickle down effect, and we must be calm and thoughtful in this whole process and not overreact. Follow what the guidelines are from the federal and state, but not overreact and cause some kind of panic, because that's something that you cannot think. When you're panicking, you're not thinking straight. And so we're going to get past this. We're going to get past it. But there's still going to, once the virus is gone, people are going to be dealing with financial problems. Let's not forget that. Because this is causing a whole lot of other issues that's not being talked about right now for some of our families that are single moms, single dads. People that don't have regular income, our retail people, fast food workers, all that. So just need to remain calm, not panic, and see it through.
Yeah, I was walking around HEB last night, this country song just kept going through my head. He goes, God is great, fear is good, and people are crazy. All right. Moving on to items under engineering, item A, considering possibly approved code condition number one, a replanted portion of North 1/2, Lot 4, Potato and Coke subdivision, VA Bakuku League of Land into Lots 1 and 2, part of the VA Bakuku League, A53 in Hampshire. Property is located on Como Lane in precinct number 3. It's not within any ETJ and has met all of our cladding requirements. Item B is that you proceed to file a utility permit to AT&T Telecommunications Inc. for the placement of fiber cable within inner duct and fiber handhold at Jerry Ware Drive, located in precinct 2. Item C is to execute, receive, file a pipeline permit to Enterprise DE Product Pipeline Company LLC to bore 30-inch ethane pipeline under 14 Jefferson County Road, located in precincts 2 and 4. Item D is to execute, receive, file a pipeline permit to Enterprise DE Product Pipeline LLC to bore a 16-inch ethane pipeline under Knopf Road, Jefferson County, in precinct 3. Item E is to execute, receive, and file road use agreement between Jefferson County and Orbit Gulf Coast NGL Exports LLC to conduct a new 20-inch pipeline construction at the site located on Pine Island and McDermott Road to Precinct 1. And item F is to execute, receive, and file road use agreement between Jefferson County and Lone Star NGL Pipeline LP to conduct a new 20-inch pipeline construction at the site located on Pine Island and McDermott Road to Precinct 1. So that motion on those items under engineering.
So moved.
Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge. Item B. Steve, and the court can weigh in on this. I know Commissioner Walls had issues with this in the past. Judge, I think you wrote a letter to AT&T. Here's what we're finding. Along our county roads, in the county right-of-way, different entities or land utilities doing things, and I'll just use AT&T as an example since they're on the agenda. They have contractors that go in. Do we have anybody from AT&T here? They have contractors come in and they lay this cable. They're laying this cable in some instances in the flow line of the ditch. Now what that means is when we go clean the ditch out, the cable is actually within 2 to 3 inches of the flow line of the ditch. We put in our locates, we do what we're supposed to do, we go out there and clean the ditch. And then we're tearing the cable up, then they're calling us just last week, and we got a hold of Ernest on this, AT&T called about a cable that was hit on Craven Road that, according to what my guys tell me, was in the flow line of the ditch. And I think they had some pictures of it, and we had our locate showing that we did a locate. I don't know, you know, what your experience was. I think you were successful in talking with them on your last issue. Judge, I think you sent a letter.
I sent a letter. They wanted us to reimburse them for the cost of repairing it. I said, you did not put it to our death requirements, or you did not put it in the place where it's supposed to be, and we are not going to reimburse you.
Okay. Well, so I don't know. The lady called our office and asked for a copy of the locate. We provided that locate. It showed the lat longs and the distance. But I'm getting awfully tired of AT&T putting all their cables and everything else and these other utility carriers in the flow line of the ditch. We have to do our maintenance on the ditch. I don't know if, and it might warrant having a workshop with these carriers to come here to Commissioner's Court so that we can talk with them. Because my guys have went out there and talked to these people. That isn't the AT&T people out there. No. Was like.
It's some subcontractor
that they have no clue about, and they're just out there literally just as fast as they can get it in. So in the very near future, I will be contacting your office to try to get our carriers that work with us the most here at Commissioner's Court to answer a few questions.
But shouldn't we have, Steve, when they come to us, shouldn't we have the specifications that they should go by? And if they don't follow that, what the judge did, really, it hits on the head, but if they don't follow the specifications that they have where they're supposed to put it, it's their call. Shouldn't it be?
Yes, sir, because when they sign one of these agreements, it has the depth that we require in that documentation. It's in there. They see it. They have to sign it. If they don't meet our requirements, then it's not our fault.
The issue, Commissioner, is was several years ago, I don't know if it's changed. When they, the county right-of-ways are treated somewhat different than the state. When state right-of-ways use replacement, they have to be exactly so many feet from the edge of the right-of-way, right. And that's where they have to place it, and it's inspected, permitted, and they're held accountable for that. On county right-of-way, because they vary a lot, I don't think there's exact specifications on their planning that they submit to us that says it has to be 2 feet from the right-of-way. It can be anywhere from the edge of the road over to the fence line or property line. But if it is buried, there is a specification on depth that has to be held accountable and because of digging issues. But if we call for locating and it's properly located and the damage is done, you know, somewhere else because the locate was wrong, the county is not liable for any damages done to that cable. If it's located in the middle of the ditch and we're doing clean out there, it is incumbent upon us to at least check the depth of it in the bottom of the ditch to verify that we're not digging deeper than what the cable is buried. But it's supposed to be 24 inches, and I think our leeway, last I heard, was 16 inches, right? 13 to 16 inches.
Right, we're usually asking for 3 feet under the bottom of the ditch.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about it in general.
And
yeah.
And when would we ever dig 3 feet below the flow?
No.
It would never happen.
It'd have to be a
so
ditch.
My point is, when we're going 1/10, and we're hitting the cable?
Yeah. That's definitely liability on them, not us. Just speaking from a former. She used to be on the other side of the equation.
But thank you, Steve.
All right. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes. Have it under management information systems. We have one item to consider an approved agreement to utilize Texas Department of Information Resources to track cybersecurity training by employees for House Bill 3834 required training. Motion on that.
A little bit.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Have it. Jeff, where are we? I originally took the cybersecurity training from TAC, subsequently determined to be not approved. Now, who am I supposed to take it from now?
It's going to be TAC, but it's the approved course is going to be coming your email shortly.
Okay.
The other ones weren't approved for this, but they're still good information. It's still good to take. Not approved for the purpose of the law that they passed. But this is actually to allow us to track. The individuals still have to track themselves that they took the course, and then we file that with the state and say, all our employees have met the requirements. So this will help us do that.
So y'all going to do the housekeeping on that?
Yeah.
Okay. You are going to take this email with the link to where we need to go.
Yeah. It'll come from that.
Very good.
Whenever it comes in to you, right?
It'll come directly to your email.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll come to your own email address.
All right.
All right. Under risk management, I'm ready to consider possibly approve storage tank liability insurance for renewal with Ace American Insurance Company. Effective April 6, 2020, and an annual premium of $6,710. I'd be considered possibly approved mosquito control liability insurance renewal with Westchester Fire Insurance Company effective April 24, 2020 for an annual premium of $14,465. Motion on those items.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Hoffman, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, have it. Under Sheriff's Department, we have one item to consider possibly approve out-of-state travel for Deputy Lawrence Brody to attend the 2020 National Interdiction Conference held in Baltimore, Maryland, April 26th through May 1st, 2020. This training is nationally recognized and will enhance drug interdiction efforts. Travel and training expenses will be reimbursed fully by Homeland Security Investigation Slot Program at no cost to the county.
Judge, before we make a motion on this, and I know I read something from the state that they stopped all travel. Did your declaration stop employee travel?
Yes. It did not, but
but did.
Yes, it did.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Okay, then.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess we're going to have to kind of wait until that date.
Yeah, hold on.
Until, let's put it on for mid-April.
Okay.
Back on there. I don't want for you to get on an airplane.
Hey, thank you. We need to limit as much as we can.
All right, commissioners, that completes our regular agenda. Is there anything y'all wish to bring to the attention of the public? Any department head or elected official has anything that they'd like to bring to the attention of the public? Thank you.
I've got several calls about the runoff election. And all I can tell you at this time, Secretary of State has not given us any directive that our election is canceled. So we're proceeding as follows. I heard Sheriff and Mike talk about how hard it is to get supplies. I went to four different Dollar Trees yesterday just trying to get alcohol because it's recommended that we use alcohol and water to clean all our machines. So we are in the process of trying to get everything ready for the election still.
You know, my concern there is so many of your election workers
Judge, I would like to bring to the court, and this is congratulations to Kim Phelan. We got the chance to work with her. She's been appointed as an interim executive director for IEA, Inspire, Encourage, and Achieve, the program there. So kudos to her, and whatever you can do to help her, I appreciate that. Thank you. The court.
Anyone else? All right. Well, we'll be back at 1:30 for a workshop and training report related to the program.